Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue our series of studies on the topic, the intent of Lent. We're looking this month at the practice of Lent. We are in the Lenten season, as you'll be seeing this program, and we're considering the practices of Lent. And whether or not what those practices are, what they mean, and whether or not those practices should be continued into the dispensation of grace for believers and members of the church, the body of Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 is our starting point, so you might want to take a moment now and turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 5. And as you do that, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program today, we'll give you complete information on how you can contact us here at Grace Alive. If you have any questions or comments about what you hear on the program today, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. When you're right, just specify what format you prefer and let us know that you want the series on Lent, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. Right now, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, as I've been telling you the past couple of weeks, Galatians 5, 1 really doesn't have a lot to do with Lent per se, except that it does deal with some of the principles that underlie Lent. And Galatians 5, 1 says this, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." As I mentioned, this doesn't have directly to do with Lent, but we're going to see today in our study how that it does have to do with some of the principles that underlie the practice of Lent and whether or not we should be continuing the practice of Lent in the church, the body of Christ, in the dispensation of grace. Now, just to review for a few moments what we've looked at in the past 2 weeks, we saw, number one, a definition for Lent. We saw that Lent is the 40 week days from Ash Wednesday till Easter. It's a time of penitence and fasting, a time when people afflict their souls, feel sorry about their sin, do sacrifice for that sin by giving up things. And during that 40-day period, you are to use that as a time of introspection, time of retrospection, time of examining yourself, a time to think about your sin and feel sorry for that sin. Now, we saw that in Scripture, there really is no reference to Lent. There's no reference to a 40-day time period. There's no reference to Easter, to Ash Wednesday, to any of those things. But there is in Scripture a day that is similar in its meaning and in its application to what modern-day Lent would be. Let's turn back just for a moment to Leviticus chapter 23 and look at what that day is. Leviticus chapter 23. That day, as we saw in our studies earlier this month, is the Day of Atonement. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, On the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be to you a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it's a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God." And on this day of atonement, in addition to the fact that the high priest would go in and offer an offering made unto the Lord, he would go into that holy of holies, sprinkle the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat upon the mercy seat, and make atonement for the sins of the nation. As he did that, the people of the nation are also doing something. They are, number one, having a Sabbath day, verse 28, no servile work. Number two, they are also offering a sacrifice, the end of verse 27, offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And perhaps most importantly there in verse 27, ye shall afflict your souls. It's a time in the nation Israel when the people afflict their souls, when they offer an offering made by fire. The Day of Atonement is a day that when you look at what's going on, it's very similar to what we see happening in the present day practice of Lent. That is, one, there is sacrifice. And although today in Lent we don't see sacrifice of animals, the whole idea of giving something up for Lent is making a sacrifice to the Lord for Lent. Number two, There is Sabbath, rest, and of course the whole 40-day period of Lent is not considered to be a Sabbath, but it is a time when obviously Sabbaths are observed and a time when you're supposed to take time away for this introspection, this retrospection that goes on, so that time of rest. And then number three, it's a time of affliction. Self-affliction. You shall afflict your souls. It's a time when you feel sorry about sin. All these things are present in the modern-day practice of Lent. As I said, when we the first week of this study, you don't have the 40 days, the Ash Wednesday, and all of that, but the principles underlying the Day of Atonement certainly are present in Lent. Then we saw last week that the writer of Hebrews, and let's turn over to the book of Hebrews now. The writer of Hebrews takes us from those practices, the practices of the Day of Atonement and the other practices of the law, into a different standard, a different set of practices based on a different sacrifice. In Hebrews 10, the writer of Hebrews says, verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered because the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." The writer of Hebrews says, you know, these practices, this Day of Atonement, those things they did year to year, and the sacrifices they offered year to year, and the blood that was shed year to year, can never take away sins. They can never make the comers thereunto perfect. But there is one sacrifice that will. And if you look down in verse 11, you read about that sacrifice. "Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He hath perfected. The priests offer oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins, can never make man perfect. But this man, Jesus Christ, offered one sacrifice, and after he offered one sacrifice, you know what he did? He sat down because the work was done. And people that come to that sacrifice are made perfect. Now, we told you last week that what the writer of Hebrews does for the nation Israel in the book of Hebrews, Paul does for the Gentiles in the book of Romans. And that's where we concluded last week. Let's pick it up again in the book of Romans chapter 3 and see what Paul has to say about that sacrifice of Christ and about the fact that that perfect sacrifice provides a perfect salvation, a perfect redemption, and makes the comers thereunto perfect. In verse 23 of Romans 3, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Being justified freely. The word justified means to be made righteous. These people that come to Christ are justified, made righteous freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through the redemption in Christ Jesus, we who believe in Jesus, who put our faith in Him, are made righteous. Verse 25, "Whom God," speaking of Christ, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." God Almighty accepts the blood of Christ as payment for sin. Accepts the blood of Christ as a satisfaction, a propitiation for sin. Verse 26, "He declares, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth on Jesus." He's not only just, but He's the justifier. He's not only righteous, but He makes righteous them that believe in Jesus. And what that does is do away with all of this. It does away with sacrifice. It does away with Sabbaths. It does away with affliction. It does away with all of that. In fact, turn to the book of Colossians for a moment and look at what Paul has to say in the book of Colossians about what the sacrifice of Christ does relative to the law and the Sabbaths and the sacrifices. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 13. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." You know what Paul says there? All this handwriting of ordinances, these sacrifices, these Sabbaths, these afflictions of your soul, all of that was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. All of it. Verse 15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which were a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Verse 20, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men." You hear what Paul says there? That Jesus Christ took the law, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, he took it out of the way. How did he take it out of the way? He nailed it to his cross. The blood of bulls and goats that could never take away sins, he nailed it to his cross. The feast days and the Sabbath days and the holy days that could never make the comers thereunto perfect, that in that year by year, week by week observation of those things could never make you perfect. What did he do with them? He nailed them to his cross. That afflicting your soul, that spending time feeling guilty about your sin and sorry about your sin and beating yourself up because of your sin, what did he do with that? He nailed it to his cross. What did he do with the Day of Atonement? He nailed it to his cross. What did he do with circumcision? He nailed it to his cross. What did he do with all the works of the law? He nailed them to his cross. That's why Paul can say, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of Sabbath days, which were a shadow of things to come. But the body, what you're a part of, what I'm a part of, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a part of the body of Christ. The body is of Christ. The body is not of all these things. The body is of Christ." And that's the radical change that has taken place in the dispensation of grace. That's the thing that Paul presents in his epistles that is separate and unique and distinct from what all the Bible is presenting up to that point. The Bible has been presenting up to that point the principles of the law and the principles of reward for performance. And the principles of, if you obey, then I'll bless, and if you don't obey, then I'll curse. And the principles of sacrifice. And the principles of self-affliction. All of those principles are what the law has been presenting. And Paul comes along and says, you know what? All of that stuff, all of those rules, all those ordinances, all those regulations, all those things that year by year were remembrance of sins. Remember that verse in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10? In those sacrifices there is year by year a remembrance made again of sins. Every year you remember sin. Every time you have to bring a sacrifice, you remember that you're a sinner. Every time the Day of Atonement rolls around, you remember that you're a sinner. Every time you break one of those laws, you remember that you're a sinner. Every time you don't observe the Sabbath properly, you remember that you're a sinner. Every time that law is broken, or every time you have to bring a sacrifice because you broke it, you remember that you're a sinner. What a terrible way to live. What a terrible way to live with that law always on you, as it were, reminding you about your sin, reminding you about your unworthiness. Paul says in Colossians 2, all of that, he nailed to the cross. All of the law he nailed to the cross, and let no man therefore judge you in any of those things, in meat or drink, or holy days, new moons, Sabbath days, they were only a shadow. You've got the reality of being in Christ. Turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5. I've been telling you the first 2 weeks that Galatians chapter 5 isn't directly talking about Lent in the verse, but the principle that it's setting forth certainly tells us what our attitude should be about all these things under the law that are so similar to Lent. Paul tells us in Colossians 2, he took all those things out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Don't let any man judge you in those things. In Galatians 5, he says to the churches, and in the churches of Galatia, the problem is that people have been coming in and saying, yeah, faith in Christ is fine, but you've also got to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. In fact, keep your hand right here in Galatians 5 and just turn back for a moment to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. You really can't understand the whole context of Paul's message to the Galatians without understanding Acts 15. Acts 15 says this, "Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Paul's been going out and preaching salvation by grace through faith plus nothing, justification without the works of the law, justification without. God took that law and nailed it to his cross, and you don't need that law to be justified. You only need faith in Christ. And then some people came along behind Paul and said, no, you got to be circumcised after the manner of Moses in order to be saved. That faith in Christ is fine, believing all that is good, but listen, you better add some works to that. You better get yourself circumcised. Verse 2, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying, it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." Certain of the sect of the Pharisees, these are not Pharisees that were opposed to Christ and opposed to the kingdom gospel. They're Pharisees that believe the message of Christ and the message of the 12 apostles. They believed. They're the Pharisees that believed. And even they say, no, these Gentiles have to be circumcised to keep the law of Moses. Faith in Christ is not enough. They must be circumcised and they must keep the law of Moses. That law hasn't been nailed to the cross. It's still in effect. And in Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas go to Jerusalem to have a meeting about that very issue. And if you turn to Galatians chapter 2, Paul in Galatians 2 gives you an account of that meeting that he and Barnabas and Titus went to in Jerusalem. And he says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 6, "But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen." And they unto the circumcision, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which also I was forward to do. See, they have this meeting in Jerusalem, and Paul helps the apostles understand, I've got a new message. I've got a gospel of the uncircumcision for those Gentiles out there. And that gospel doesn't involve the works of the law. That gospel doesn't involve sacrifice and Sabbaths and afflicting your soul. That gospel is the gospel of Christ. That gospel involves faith in Christ plus nothing. And there's quite a dispute. Verse 11, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? You see, Paul withstood Peter and said, Peter, you're going to get away with that. You're not going to take that law and try to put it on the Gentiles. You're not even keeping the law anymore. You lived like the Gentiles until some of your buddies came, and then you tried to go back. But I'm telling you, Peter, it's not going to work. I withstood him to the face. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the works of the law, sacrifice, Sabbath, afflicting of your soul, Day of Atonement, Lent, by those works shall no flesh be justified. Practicing Lent doesn't make your soul one iota more righteous in the sight of God. And does nothing for your standing before God. Your standing before God is based upon what have you done with Christ. Is your faith, is your trust in His shed blood as payment for your sin? If it is, then you can have no higher standing with God. If it's not, then you have no standing with God. It's you're either in or you're out based upon your faith on Christ, faith in Christ rather. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, this is Galatians 2:21, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If the Day of Atonement and sacrifice and Sabbath and afflicting your soul and observing Lent for 40 days and giving up pizza or beer or dancing or whatever you want to give up, if that could make you righteous, then Christ wouldn't have had to die. But all that stuff can't make you righteous. All that stuff can do is be a constant reminder again and again and again of your sin. But Christ, His death, after this man offered up that perfect sacrifice, he sat down. He took the works of the law. He took Lent. He took anything that man could try to do to make himself more pleasing and appealing to God. He took that and he nailed it to his cross. And he took it out of the way. And he said, all that is now out of the way and I am the only issue left. All that matters now is what you do with me. All that matters now is what you think about me. All that matters now is whether you have faith in me. That's Christ's plea to us. Forget all this stuff. What will you do with Christ? What do you think about Him? What do you think about His death? What do you think about what He accomplished at Calvary? If you believe what He accomplished at Calvary, if you believe when He died on that cross, He did it to pay for your sin, and you believe that that blood shed there pays for all that was ever wrong with you, then you have the gift of eternal life. It's that simple faith that gives you the gift of eternal life. It's not observing Lent. It's not doing any of those other things. It's faith in Christ. Now, how do you then keep sin from your life? If you've trusted Christ, if you've received Him as your Savior, if you believe that, yes, when He died on that cross, He paid for my sin, and I don't need the Day of Atonement or Lent or anything else to save me from my sin. But now I don't want to go out and keep on sinning. How do I keep? I mean, that's one of the things Lent is supposed to do, is remind you of your sin so you feel sorry about it so you don't go do it anymore. Well, based on this new system, based on the truth of Christ and His atonement for your sin, His payment for your sin, how then do you deal with sin in your life? Well, we'll talk about that next week, so we trust that you'll tune in then. But for today, remember, your salvation, your redemption, your righteousness, your eternal life is not in Lent or any other practice. It's in Christ. And you need to put your faith and trust in Him today to have that gift of eternal life. We'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. In any one of those ways, you're welcome to contact us this week. When you do, if you have questions or comments about the program, we'd love to hear them. Or if you would like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the DVDs, or the CDs of this entire month's series of studies, we'd be glad to get those out to you also. The series title is The Intent of Lent. And if you just write and request the series on Lent, we'll know what you mean and we'll get that out to you. Next week, we will be concluding this series of studies on the intent of Lent, looking at how you can deal with sin. If it's not through Lent or through the law, how do you deal with sin in your life? We'll deal with that next week. And until then, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.